Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Advanced Studio Classroom. It is May 7th, 2018, and my name is Brandon. Today we begin our education article entitled No Worse Fate Than Failure, and I have some wonderful panelists here today to help me discuss this topic. First, welcome Simon.
Hey, Brandon. It's good to be back, especially for an education article. You know, that's the area I tend to work in, and so it's always exciting to discuss new and up-and-coming topics in education.
Yeah, we're glad to have you here because you do have a lot of experience when it comes to education, so we look forward to your input today. We also have Jack here with us today. Welcome, Jack.
Hello, everyone. Glad to be here and to be talking about such an important subject.
It is important, and it's very applicable to students, and so parents also, of course, can learn from this. We can all learn from it. We also have a special guest today. Welcome, Graham.
Hi, it's good to be here.
Graham, where are you from?
I'm currently living in Seoul, South Korea.
All right, and you are a teacher there?
Yes, I teach English there.
Okay, perfect. Good to have you here on this education article. We are on page 16, so you can follow along with us there today. What is our title, Simon?
Well, this article is called No Worse Fate Than Failure.
What does that mean?
Well, sometimes we use this term, no worse fate, which means there's nothing worse that can happen to you than something. And in this case, the thing that is the worst thing that can happen to you is failure.
What's the real issue that we're talking about here today? What do we find in our deck, Jack?
Well, the question is how students can keep up with the pressure that overwhelms them in some of the top schools. And I'm sure this is common to students all over, and in not just the top schools, but in the situation in many high schools.
Right, and we are talking about elite schools. You just used the word top schools. That describes it perfectly. If you have something that's elite, it's the top, the best. And we are in the state of Illinois in the United States, and so we're looking at some schools there, but this is applicable to schools in different parts of the world, and I think it's very applicable for here in Asia as well. So we are talking about education and students under pressure. So let's go ahead and get into this topic. If you have your magazine, open it up to page 16. You can also follow along on your digital device as we have our first reading for today.
No worse fate than failure. How pressure to keep up overwhelms students in elite Illinois schools. When Naperville North High School student Tessa Newman heard about the suicide of a classmate last school year, she was outraged. Furious, not at the classmate, but at a culture, she said, exacerbates the pressure she and many of her fellow students feel. So Tessa took action. I was just so angry and overwhelmed. I got on my Chromebook at 2 a.m. and essentially wrote down my feelings, says Tessa. Within days, Tessa had posted a 1,458-word essay on change.org. The petition, Naperville North Pressure Culture Must Change, soon went viral, striking a chord nationwide and prompting fierce debate on the topic. At Naperville North, there is one path to success, Tessa wrote in the piece. From the age of 13, every prospective Naperville North student understands that this path makes no exceptions, and those who wander off or fall behind are left for failure. Everyone here understands that there is no worse fate than failure.
All right, so we are in the state of Illinois, and the name of this high school that is introduced at the beginning is called Naperville North High School. And we meet a student, Tessa Newman. And what did she hear about, Jack?
She heard about a classmate that had committed suicide the last school year.
Okay, of course, this is terrible. She heard this news. This classmate had committed suicide. And how did she react, Simon?
Well, it says she reacted with outrage, and so she felt very angry.
All right. She was very angry. And Graham, what is the next word that we see? How do they describe this?
It says that she was furious.
What does it mean if you're furious?
Which is very angry.
All right. So she was angry. But Simon, was she angry at the classmate?
No, it's very clear about that. She was furious, but not at the classmate. Instead, she was furious at a culture, she said, exacerbates the pressure that students are feeling.
All right, that word exacerbate, it's a good word to know. What does it mean, Jack?
Well, exacerbate is when something is made already, it's already bad and it's made worse.
All right, and so we're focusing again in on the pressure, okay, the pressure that these students are facing. And Tessa took action. So this terrible thing that happened, this suicide, caused her to kind of wake up and see that students are under a lot of pressure. And so she did take action. What did she do, Simon?
Well, she started writing, basically. She actually goes through and explains the process involved with her taking action. So at first, she sort of experienced these feelings. It said she was angry and overwhelmed. Overwhelmed is kind of an interesting word there because it means your feelings are just so strong. You're having so many feelings that you can't deal with it. You don't know what to do. And so I guess because she didn't really know what else to do, it says she got on her Chromebook, which is like an internet laptop, right? Mm-hmm. Very early in the morning, so this is very late at night or very early in the morning, and she started to write down her feelings. So the action she took was she started to write.
You could tell this was really bothering her if she gets up at 2 a.m. to start writing about something, because most people would be, you know, going to sleep at that time. And of course, she is bothered by this so much, and she's passionate about this, and she wants to write down her feelings. And then what did she do next, Graham?
Well, after she wrote her feelings, she posted it on the website change.org.
All right. So she wrote a 1,458-word essay. And so you can tell that she cares about this a lot. Now, if you're wondering what change.org is, it's a place where you can start petitions. You can do this for free. And then with some petitions, maybe the media will pick up on it, like in this case. And then decision makers, they have an opportunity to respond to the petition. And then eventually, a solution could be reached if you are successful. And so that's what she did. She went on to this website and she wrote this essay.
And just to clarify, that word petition has a couple of different but related meanings. When you use it like a verb, it basically means you're asking for help from someone who is more powerful and or has more authority, maybe someone in government. But here, people are signing a petition. And so basically, you're making a request or a demand, and then you're having people sign their name to it to say they support this request or this demand.
Okay, and so she started this petition, Jack. Was it a success when it comes to how many people it reached?
Absolutely. The article says that it went viral, and the reason was it struck a chord across the nation, and it prompted a fierce debate.
Okay, and we've heard that word viral a lot when it comes to online videos. We hear about YouTube videos going viral, meaning that many people have watched it. And it's just taken off. And then if something strikes a chord with you, what is it doing, Graham?
Basically, it just means that it really appeals to you, approve it a lot.
Okay.
And so in this case, many people really felt very passionately about the issue.
They can relate to the issue. They understand it. It meets them in such a way that maybe they want to also take action. So it struck a chord nationwide all over the country, and it prompted fierce debate on the topic.
Yeah, it's interesting because that term strike a chord, often we use it to mean like you agree with the feeling or the sentiment that someone is expressing, but it can also just mean you're reacting to it. And so we actually see here that there was fierce debate, which means people disagreed about how they should react to this petition. And so some people were in agreement that maybe there was too much pressure on students, and other people mm-hmm. strongly disagreed, and that's why this debate began.
That's right. It kind of stirred the pot, got people talking about this topic. Well, at Naperville North, there is one path to success, according to Tessa. And how does she describe that path, Jack?
Well, from the age of 13, every prospective Naperville North student understands that their path has no exceptions, and those who wander off or fall behind are left for failure. And then this is where we see our title. Everyone here understands that there is no worse fate than failure.
Yeah, and we haven't actually said this at this point. I didn't know this before the show, but Naperville North High School, that name Naperville North kind of makes it sound like it's a small town high school somewhere, but that's not really what it is. Jack, you actually said you know people who attended the school.
Yes, that's true. When I lived in Chicago, Naperville is maybe about an hour southwest outside of Chicago, and it's actually a pretty large suburb, and it does have quite a few good schools in it.
So this Naperville North High School, it's what you'd call like an elite school, right? So you can assume that the students at this school, maybe it's difficult to get into. Students at the school are under a lot of pressure to go to good colleges and be very successful, things like that, right?
Yes. And so as we look at this, it says every prospective Naperville North student. And so a prospective student is someone who they're expecting to become a student. You can also have a prospective buyer. They're expected to buy something. But everyone at this school understands that they're going toward a goal, and they can't fail. There's a lot of pressure there. There are a lot of expectations for you to succeed, maybe by parents and others, because this is an elite school. And so those who go there are expected to work hard and to perform at a very high level. Well, next we're going to look at the response as we dig in deeper into this issue.
The response. If nothing else, the essay and the response it generated show how much the topic of student stress and educational anxiety is on the minds of kids, parents, teachers, counselors, and administrators, some of whom are calling it a burgeoning mental health crisis. Many parents want their children to either meet or surpass what they have achieved. But there's not a whole lot of room to surpass the success of a parent who is a CEO of a Fortune 500 company, said Timothy Hayes, Assistant Superintendent of Student Services at New Trier High School.
All right, so we are talking about the response. It says, if nothing else, the essay and the response it generated show something. What does it show, Simon?
Well, it shows how much this topic of student stress is really on people's minds. So basically, it's an important subject that a lot of people are thinking about and dealing with.
Many people are involved here. We're talking about kids, parents, teachers, counselors, and administrators. They're getting in on this issue, talking about it. And some are calling it a mental health crisis. And they have a word here to describe that. What is that?
Burgeoning. Burgeoning is something that is developing or growing quickly. And even actually the origin of the word comes from something that is budding, a plant that's putting out lots of new growth.
So to call it, Simon, a mental health crisis, it sounds very serious.
Well, I think it is. A crisis, of course, is a serious situation. And mental health basically means people are having a hard time dealing with the situation in a way that is practical or healthy, I guess, right?
Right. And we get an explanation here of kind of what's going on in this high school, the people who are going there and the expectations. We talk about the parents, Graham. What do we learn here?
Yeah, basically that the parents have just very high expectations for their children. A lot of them at this school are very successful business people, and so they expect the same or even higher success for their children.
Okay, and so they work for Fortune 500 companies, Simon. Many of these parents do. And listeners, if you know anything about Fortune 500 companies, you know that those are very successful companies. They're really big companies. This is put out by Fortune magazine. They put a list out every year of these companies that are successful. So, Simon, if you have parents working at these companies and their kids are expected to reach that or surpass that, that is a tall order. Those are really high expectations.
That's right. And I think this paragraph actually is pretty key to understanding the debate around the subject because, you know, with every generation, you have some people who are really eager to succeed and really thrive on high stress, high pressure sorts of things. And you have other people who just don't thrive on stress. They don't benefit from being under a high stress environment. And so having an environment where students are under stress isn't so much the problem. It's having the wrong students in that environment that's a problem. And what they're sort of suggesting with this paragraph is that parents are kind of pushing students who maybe aren't able to deal with this sort of environment into an environment that's causing health problems for them.
But I also think a key point is there's not much room for growth because their parents already are working these Fortune 500 companies, and if they're expecting their students to surpass that, there's not much more that you can do, right? And so they're putting all this pressure on their kids when it's really hard to meet those standards.
Absolutely. I mean, how can you go higher than the top of the competition, right?
Right.
And of course, also the question of what is the definition of success comes into the debate. I'm sure that's what a lot of the students and those who are involved in the debate are talking about.
That's a good point. You know, maybe the parent works at one of these companies, but their student has no desire to do that. Maybe they want to do something else, but what is that definition of success? And maybe that, I think, not maybe, it does need to be refined in some situations, redefined in some situations.
Yeah, it's important because, you know, you sort of understand the parent's perspective. Well, if you're from North America, you will, because it's kind of a big part of what they call the American dream, right? You want each generation to do better than its parents did. Mm-hmm. And that's actually how we often measure success. So if you're more successful than your parents, then you can consider yourself a successful person, even if you're not comparatively successful when you're compared to other people. Like, you know, my parents are not the heads of Fortune 500 companies, but, you know, I don't have to consider myself a failure because I haven't reached that level, right, as long as I'm sort of paid more or living more comfortably than my parents were.
I think it comes down to how you view the world, and you can define success in different ways. And many people are focused on making a certain amount of money, while someone else might be focused on how they can contribute to society or help people. You know, there are many teachers, for example, who don't get paid a whole lot, but they can invest in students. And so they find fulfillment in that. And that is, of course, a huge success. But not everyone may define success that way.
That's absolutely right.
Well, we have more about the research here at the end of day one, so let's find out about that in our last reading for today.
The research. For months, Pioneer Press has explored the problem of student anxiety and school-related stress. Reporters spoke to students, parents, administrators, and public health experts and examined school data. The research showed a pervasive, increasing, and potentially dangerous problem that affects every aspect of students' lives, from their emotional and physical health to their future college and career paths.
Okay, so we are getting some information here from Pioneer Press. This is a news agency. And they are involved with this article. So for months, Pioneer Press, they have explored the problem of student anxiety and school-related stress. And reporters spoke to different people. Who are some of the people that they spoke to, Graham?
Yeah, so they spoke to students, parents, administrators, and public health experts, basically just a wide variety of people in order to complete their research.
That's right, and they also looked at some school data. And what did the research actually show, Jack?
Well, that this problem was pervasive. And that word pervasive is a really good one to know because it's a very useful word. It means spread throughout. Something is noticeable all throughout something or some space.
All right. And so the research showed a pervasive, increasing, and potentially dangerous problem that affects every aspect of students' lives. And so that gives you the idea that it is spreading out into different parts of their lives. And we're talking about their emotional state, their physical health, and even their future college and career path. So Simon, it looks like it's a serious issue. But the thing is, the pressure involved, and you know, we do need pressure in a certain way. We need to be pushed. But I think there's a line. So where do you think that line is? You know, how far do you really push these students, Simon?
So are you, Brandon, trying to get to the heart of the issue here? Like, is the pressure too much?
Or yeah, it looks like the pressure is too much.
Okay, so the way I would respond to that is I actually don't think there's anything wrong with the pressure. Mm-hmm. I think the problem is that not everybody needs to be under an elite level of pressure,
right.
I suppose. And I know from the school system in my home province in Canada, one of the big problems is that we stream students into like sort of higher pressure, lower pressure, but there's definitely a social view that if you're in the lower pressure stream, like you've basically failed. Mm-hmm. So the sense is that that isn't as good. Like there are certain job outcomes that maybe aren't as good. And I think that's kind of the damaging thing because then people are afraid to opt for things that they might like better or be more comfortable with or things that might be better suited for their personalities because they're afraid that other people will perceive that as a failure.
Right.
And so I don't see it so much as a problem with the high pressure environment at some schools. I see it more as an issue of pushing students into schools where the things they're learning and the environment they're in isn't well suited for their learning needs and styles and personalities.
I think a big part of the issue is we compare ourselves with others and we think, well, my kid has to perform at this level because they have to have this and that. And of course, it's good to want the best for your kids, but there are other things to do in life besides study. And so we have to be well-rounded and we have to think about the full picture, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, I think what Simon mentioned is absolutely true. It varies from person to person. Even with the parents, they may have been that kind of person that would have thrived in a really high-pressure school situation, a high-pressure work environment. But their children may not be the same as them, and they might not have that same thriving ability in that situation. They may have success in a different area.
That's right. And, you know, I could have benefited from more pressure in my local high school. And so we can all, you know, some people need more pressure and others, maybe they have too much. Maybe they don't need that much pressure. Maybe their goals are different from their parents. And so those standards that they're trying to meet is not something that they really want. So I think there's a line somewhere in there where parents, of course, they have to know their kids and know what's best for each child. One child might need more pressure. And another child might need less, or you just have to encourage them in different ways. And Graham, you've been teaching for a while, and you know kind of maybe some of this pressure that students face. What are your thoughts about this?
Yeah, I think it really does come down to that we have a system that kind of treats everyone the same when really it does come down to individuals are different.
Mm-hmm.
And so from teaching in Taiwan, from teaching in Korea, you can see that there is really a lot of high stress situations, and some students can handle it, but there's lots of students that just struggle and want to stop.
Right, kind of give up.
To be fair, though, I would add to that a little bit, not to disagree with Graham necessarily, but I think in most places, ministries of education, people who are in charge of education, have worked pretty hard to provide alternatives to students, so things other than just purely academic.
Mm.
So you think, for example, of things like vocational high schools and things like that. So I would say the problem isn't so much the options that are offered to the students. It's the the way that society as a broader group perceives some of those options as being less good.
Right.
And so I think that's kind of the thing that it puts pressure on students to go into things that maybe aren't ideal for them.
That's right. Maybe whatever they're interested in, society says that's not good enough. But for them, it's perfect. And so I think it's worth exploring these other options and really calling out what's in your child and in the students. What are their gifts? What are their talents? And helping them to do the best they can with those gifts and talents and help them to be successful. Well, we have talked about this elite school in Illinois, and there are other schools that also are going through this, and they're calling this a mental health crisis. Some people are, and so it is an issue that a lot of students are dealing with, not only in the United States, but all over the world. And before we go today, I want to revisit some of our keywords, and maybe there's some words here that we didn't mark, but that you find to be helpful. Go ahead and, you know, mark that, highlight it, and try to use it today and this upcoming week so you don't forget it. Jack, what is one word that you would like to highlight before we go?
How about exacerbate and exacerbates? This is also a word that we can use to describe some kind of, maybe you have an injury, and let's say you've recently injured yourself and you do another activity that exacerbates your injury. It makes something that is bad even worse.
All right. And Graham, a word that you would like to review?
I really like the word outraged, just because it does show such a strong response of just being so upset that you just want to do something. You want to yell, or you, in this case, you want to write a letter that goes viral, whatever it is, but it's a very strong word.
All right. And Simon?
I would just add to that the word petition, which isn't marked, but you can find it on line 13, I believe, on the left-hand column. Mm-hmm. The petition, of course, is sort of a list of demands or a request that you give to someone, maybe someone in authority like the government, that has a list of names of people who support these demands or this request.
I really like the phrase striking a chord, because if something strikes a chord with you, it kind of gets your attention. And here, this issue, it struck a chord with many people, and it got people, it allowed people to start discussing this and got that topic out there, and people are debating about it. And we will continue our discussion of this and maybe even a bit of a debate tomorrow. So we hope you will join us for day two of our education article. Until then, this is Brandon,
Jack,
Graham,
and Simon
saying goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.